you guys. Movie retrospective time once again. This one was actually in the Patreon poll that you vote on the movies, you know what I mean? This one and Battle Royale were actually tied, so I had to flip a coin to figure out which one we were doing. We'll do Battle Royale at some point as well, because I know a lot of people wanted to see us do that one. But today, we're going to talk about a Hammer film.
Yeah, this one's something else. I like this one. I would have loved this shit, Fast 14. What's it called? Vampire Lover.
The Vampire Lover.
Vampire Lover. It's a Hammer horror film. It's the British boob fest at its fucking greatest.
It is boobalicious.
Yeah, this is like late.
It's hot, a boobapalooza.
Hot actresses, hot European actresses, just cute as shit. Late 60s looking, early 70s. The hairdos and everything, just lezzing out, trying to get at each other. Damn near, you think a porn movie's gonna break out at any moment. But it's like classy and shit. So it looks good.
Yeah, it's like, but Tower, this, I think, is one of the most shameless.
Fucking shameless.
But not, I'm not saying that in a bad way. No. Like, because I like this movie. I think it's super fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite a Russ Meyers film. You know what I mean? The British didn't take it that far, you know, with their boob fixation, you know? It didn't take as far as fucking, you know, Russ Meyers, but pretty close. Pretty close.
Well, like I said, it's just, this whole thing is just
better written than
boobs
a Russ Meyer.
And nudity and stuff like that. Well, that's because it's a literary adaptation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Carmilla, basically.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it actually, it's a pretty faithful adaptation. Like, you wouldn't think that. They restructured it a little bit from the original story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this one, Vampire Lovers came out in 1970. Now, this was the first of what would later come to be called the Karnstein trilogy. We did one of the other movies, Twins of Evil. I think that was the third one, maybe. That came out in, like, like I said, that's like Downblast the movie. This one was actually...
Downblast the epic.
This one is actually, like, way more explicit than that. So yeah. So
lesbianic as hell.
It is. But the thing about it is that... So it's an adaptation of Sheridan Le Fanu's novella, Carmilla, which, for anybody that doesn't know, actually came out in 1872, I think it was, and that was 26 years before Dracula. Mm. And so the thing about it is that they made this movie, and, you know, they had to send the script, I guess, to, like, the censors or whatever, and the censors were like, what? You can't, like, do this. You can't put all this lesbian stuff in there, but...
Yeah. Bite each other on it, too.
Well, they got it all in there because they said, hey, it's in the original source material, which it is. Yeah. It's a literary adaptation, so they were allowed to get away with it, and get away with it they did.
Yeah. It's funny, man. People think all this LGBT stuff is new. That shit goes way back. Way back.
Yeah, the interesting thing about it, I mean, it's not... In the original story, I mean, and like I said, as boobalicious as this is, it is actually a very faithful adaptation of the book, at least from what I can remember of it. As I said, I think it's like restructured in the sense that they kind of do it more... In the story, like, part of the shit, like, with the one colonel or whatever that's played by Peter Cushing in the movie, that was, like, came at the end, but it was, like, a flashback. So they structured the movie, like, more in a kind of linear fashion. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the story itself is kind of, like, somebody talking and then they're talking about flashbacks about other iterations of Carmilla, like, showing up in other people's lives and shit like that. But it retains the spirit of that story, you know what I'm saying? So, basically, you got... Peter Cushing gets pretty high billing on this, but he's, like... I don't want to say he's barely in it, but he's not in it as much as you might think that he's gonna be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, he's a little bit underused, I feel like, which is kind of a shame. But you do get the lovely, and again, boob-tacular, Ingrid Pitt.
Yeah.
She's fantastic in this. As, like, the main... Baddie. Yeah. Carmilla, they call her by Miracala, they call her many other names.
The one that she was going after was even more stacked, though. And she's like...
Which one? She went after a whole bunch of...
No, the blue blonde.
Oh, okay.
She's just cute as shit. I mean, she looks like she's drawn by Walt Disney with a damn profile and
she
everything.
She had big old eyes.
Yeah, huge fucking eyes. What's a lesbian? Yeah, she doesn't know what the fuck is going
she
on.
She doesn't say
she's
that,
like,
but
I'm gonna get you, bitch. And Carmilla tricks her into taking her. Is her name Carmilla? The vampire? Yeah, it is, yeah. Right? Because that was not really clear. They didn't say it to me.
Well, it's because she's not actually known as Carmilla until, okay, like, the third iteration of the story. Because they're trying to show that this is the same woman, and she's lived, okay, for centuries and centuries, but she goes by different names. Okay. But it's always, like, an anagram of Carmilla.
Okay. Right. She tricks this young girl into taking her fucking clothes off, and it's like, bam! She's just putting Barbara Eden to shame. That's fucking, she was,
wow, that's stacked. High praise.
Yeah.
Because we know how much Tom loves Barbara Eden.
One of the prettiest women ever built.
Ever built in the factory.
I think she's pretty much built. It could be natural, but, you know, people forget that, you know, they had silicone infusion back then. They didn't have implants. Well, sometimes I think they did. They usually just infused a person with silicone. A lot easier.
You should write a book about
Breast technology. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have people. Well,
you would be very interested.
When I was living
in
Brazil as a kid, you know what I mean? Fucking all the favela girls were fucking doing silicone infusion.
Yeah.
With commercial grade silicone, not medical grade. So you don't know what's living in that shit. They just put it in a pot and fucking heat it up. You know, and then try to kill as much bacteria as they could in it. Put it in an IV bag and just stick that needle wherever they wanted it. Just drip it in there until it was done.
Yep.
Yeah. And which sounds crazy as shit. I'm getting back on fucking boobs.
I was going to say, anytime we talk about a movie like this, he goes off on a boob rant.
I was listening to a discussion of cosmetic surgeons that fucking said that it probably that it's safer probably to just go back to that.
Well, I don't know.
There was only just there were some women that had allergic reactions to it, but it was pretty uncommon that they seemed to have more problems with the way they do it now with this. It's still silicone against you. It doesn't matter.
Anyway. He gets all distracted.
But I think she was. I don't know. I kind of doubt that blob was natural way she was laying down.
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell.
You know.
But it might have just been that she was young and they were still like kind of perky.
But. She's genetically blessed. I mean, they're out there.
Well, some people are.
They're out there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically, like I said, this is part of the... This is the first movie of the Karnstein trilogy, which, you know, are... This one's really the only one that's a straight-up adaptation of Carmilla. The other ones are just kind of, like, tangentially related. Yeah. There's another one called Lust for a Vampire that was the second one, I think, and that came out in 1971, which I think Shudder just added it. So I think Shudder's got all three of them now that I'm thinking about it. And then, which I don't think I've seen that one. And then, you know, Twins of Evil, which also came out in 1971, is the third one. And we reviewed that one a little while back because, like I said, Shudder added that one. So basically, the story of it is there's... This country called Styria, which is that the country or the region?
Because
I think it's supposed to be in Austria somewhere, like the Austrian Empire or something. And this is supposed to be like the early 19th century, same time that the you know, about the same time that the novel came out, or a little bit later. And so you get this kind of thing where there's a dude. And his name is, what's his name, like Hartog or something like that?
I couldn't keep any of the names.
And they
straight.
Do like a little bit of a preview where this dude is younger and he sees this woman that's like coming out of the grave and she like has her shroud on and she's like all moving around and everything like that. And then he like takes her shroud because I guess this is something, and I don't remember if this is in the original story or not because it's been a while since I've read it. But there is some lore in this. That if you take the vampire's shroud, like, while they're outside the grave, and then, like, they can't get back in the grave for some reason because they need the shroud. I guess it's kind of like a grave dirt type of thing, like in Dracula, except it's shroud. Mm-hmm. So he takes the shroud. The vampire comes after him. She takes, like, the shroud off, and she's, like, super hot, and then he cuts her head off. So that's kind of like a prequel, like, that's something that happened, like, a long time ago. And then... You come into this thing where, because like I said, this is a, like sort of like three parts. It's like three different iterations of Carmilla, the same woman, you know, living all of these decades and like feasting on various people. So they're kind of going from one family to another, like from one victim to another. And they don't realize that this is all the same person. So you basically get, the next thing that happens is you have General Spielsdorf, who is played by Peter Cushing, and they're at this, like, they're having this big, like, ball or whatever, and then this woman shows up with her daughter named Marcela, who is Ingrid Pitt, like, looking all hot in her, like, red dress and whatever, and... You know, so it happens that it's like, oh, coincidentally, she's like, oh, I just had this really bad emergency, like, somewhere else. So can you guys, I just need to leave my daughter here for a little while. Can you guys just, like, look after her? And Peter Cushing's all like, can do, because, yeah. You know, she's super hot and everything.
Peter Cushing was looking fucking, looking all fucking fantastic in his 1700s attire. That old no molar, no back teeth having motherfucker.
Peter Cushing is so foxy.
I wish I had them damn cheekbones.
I do too.
But the thing is the dude didn't weigh anything. If you looked at him, it looked like he was on the brink of starvation.
There's something kind of sexy about that, though.
He looked weak to me, though.
Well, it depends on the person. Like, yeah. Some people can, like, wear it well, and I think that he, like, wore it really well.
He was real skinny.
Well, yeah. But that was his whole thing, though. That was his whole look.
Yeah, his cheekbones.
It was a whole
he had those cheekbones,
he had
though.
Going there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what good in Star Wars, too.
That's what I mean. That shit's, yeah. Like, fucking... otherworldly, like those cheekbones that he had.
Yeah.
Nobody else, I can't even think of anybody else.
I think there was some kind of issue there, though.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, that
he
dude,
was like, yeah, suck in
that
the
dude. That dude weighed 125 pounds.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like I said, hey, he was a successful actor, so. What do you
think? I have a feeling he didn't have any back teeth, though.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Although, that might just be an urban legend, like Cher getting her ribs removed and shit like that, which is not the case.
I think it was skinny.
It's like, yeah, I had all my back teeth removed, so I don't think that would work, even. I don't think that would work. Because it would just, like, make a
bit of... Just let me make shit up. Come on, just let me say shit. Just saying shit just to say it. You know?
Yeah.
I say whatever comes out of my mouth.
Can I need to write that down. That's another shirt. I say whatever comes out of my mouth.
Yesterday.
I'm writing that down,
okay.
Right? Because I want to make a t-shirt out of that.
Say whatever comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday I pronounced Arthur Schopenhauer's name as Schopenhauer, and a guy said he lost brain cells. Some people call it Schopenhauer. I guess you can call him Schopenhauer.
I always but thought I in that language, I thought CH was like a hard CH. Like
I thought so too. You know, I don't really care. I mean, if he wants me to change my pronunciation, he's have to come and whip my ass. You beat my ass, I'll change my pronunciation. But if I beat your ass, I'm gonna hit. I'm gonna go straight to anal on you.
Uh oh.
Ain't that something? That's quite the odds, huh?
Yeah, sure.
I'll change my pronunciation, or I get to fuck you. That's yeah.
Okay.
That's like fucking God's covenant with Israel. You will do this shit. That's my covenant.
I'm just really not all that invested in the pronunciation of that name, but whatever.
I don't give a shit either. Schopenhauer. Clearly I thought it was
do.
A hard...
I thought it was too, but like yeah. I said, it's, you know, it's not my native language, so yeah. I'm not real sure. But yeah,
that's
so...
That's the way I heard it. That's
so basically, you know... This Ingrid Pitt gets left... I'm just going to call her that because she has like three different names throughout the movie. She gets left with this family, and she immediately, like, gets all into Peter Cushing's niece, Laura.
Yeah.
Now, Laura starts having these nightmares. Now, one of the best things about this movie, I really, really like, the... They're very brief, but, like, I like the nightmare, you know, sequences that they have, because they do them, like, in black and white, and it's almost kind of, like, surrealist. Like, they have, like, these really weird, like, close-ups of, like, eyes and, like, you know, Ingrid Pitt's eyes and then, like, sort of this weird... I don't know. It's just, like, this whole weird thing that they have going, and I dig it. Yeah. But she starts having... Like, Laura starts having all these nightmares about a humongous cat coming into her room and, like, biting her on the boob.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, you can say, like, Hammer Films is like, oh, you know, biting her on the boob or whatever, but that is in the original story. And the big cat thing is in the original story, too. Because, like I said, this is a pretty faithful adaptation.
Well, it makes sense. Like, a vampire is going to manifest itself to, like, its spirit totem. Dracula, yeah. It was like bats and wolves. With this hottie, it's a fucking cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
she's like a predatory.
Like a saber-toothed tiger. I understand. She was beating dude's ass in this movie.
Yeah. And she was like,
she was hot, man.
She was biting you on the tip. Well, yeah.
Good body, decent
why,
rat.
I mean, why do you think
pretty.
That this movie is so beloved? This is a huge cult classic.
Yeah. She was putting the moves on men and women. When she put them on the men, it was so she could get advantage of and kill them. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like she was mostly... The thing about this, and I was watching another review of this. It might have been Grumpy Andrew's House of Horror. I like him. He's a British fella. But he was talking about how Ingrid Pitt's character in this, and in the novella as well, I feel like she's almost... I mean, she's still, it's like, she's a monster because she's, like, going after these young girls and, like, killing them, like, draining their life force and shit. But she almost comes across as, like, a little bit sympathetic because it's almost like she wants them to love her and she wants, like, a companion.
Yeah, I think
but she's, like, cursed. So it's almost kind of like she's, like, Miriam Blaylock in The Hunger, where it's like she wants somebody that's going to stay with her forever, but it doesn't work out. And so, but she doesn't have any other way of going about things because she's like cursed to like drink blood because she's a vampire and shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, so she's a lot more interesting and complex, I guess, than just a straight up monster that just kills people because she's got to drink blood.
Yeah,
because she seems to actually have feelings for these girls that she's draining.
Yeah, you can see where... Anne Rice got a lot of her ideas for.
Well, she has said that Interview with the Vampire was influenced a great deal by Carmilla.
Yeah, it's because it's that same dynamic.
Yeah,
that it's a good flick.
I mean, a lot of subsequent vampire lore was influenced by Carmilla, which is really weird because even though it came out like a quarter century before Dracula, and I guess it's better known now, but. I mean, Dracula is, like, way, way, way better known. But the thing about it is that Bram Stoker was influenced by Carmilla as well because he read, like, pretty much all the vampire lore and vampire shit that he could...
It's a similar kind of story.
It is.
I can understand why Dracula made the big time first. You really couldn't tell a story like this back in the early 1900s, you know, in a film. You'd get in a lot of trouble. You could do it because the Black Cat had weird elements of sexuality in it. And necrophilia and female slavery, you know, white slavery and stuff was in it. But it didn't really make any references to lesbianism and fucking, it was kind of showing that. Although you could say, well, she wasn't really a lesbian because she wasn't a human, she was a monster. But it's
maybe that's kind of why they skirted it.
Right.
But I do feel like, I mean, the thing about it is that the original novella, which like I said, came out in 1872, was pretty... open about the lesbianism. I don't think they used that word or anything like that, but the way, I mean, they did talk about Carmilla being like romantically interested in like her victims, which were almost all female. Does kill some dudes, but that's usually just to get them out of the way.
This might be a cleaned up version of fucking Countess Bathory.
Maybe
the guy had heard of Countess Bathory.
Definitely.
He says, I'm gonna change that around, you know, make her fucking a lot more attractive. You know, not as nasty.
Yeah, I mean, I think he even said that was one of the inspirations was a book that he had read about Countess Bathory.
Okay, yeah.
Also, the Coleridge's poem, Christabel, was also a big influence. But yeah, he was pretty open about his influence too. But then, like I said, Bram Stoker was subsequently influenced by this because this came out like much earlier.
I tell you what, back in the day, I didn't know about this movie really until kind of recently. You know, I'd heard of it, but I never watched it. Had I seen this back when I was like 13 or 14, I'd have fucking been all over this shit, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's
especially
when
in the pre-internet age, you know what I mean? Where fucking nudity could only really be seen on fucking screen.
You couldn't get porn easily.
Really get porn. This shit here. Yes, I can't call this porn. You think maybe porn might break out at any moment, but it's a lot more higher class than that. You know what I mean? I was going to say it's like a British interpretation of what a Russ Meyer film would be. But a Russ Meyer film really is kind of like a blatant excuse to show big ass titties. All
well,
right?
Yeah, I mean, his
and
thing was just like
that.
Trashy.
Yeah,
but
really
but not
trashy.
In a bad way. He was like...
They were fun.
He was just like unashamedly trashy.
Yeah, it was fun and it was definitely just softcore porn.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's all it was. They did have funny stories and shit in them. So this is not really in the same league. It's like a lot more classier than that. But it's still pretty hot.
It still has some exploitation kind of shit in it because, you know, there's scenes where, you know, Carmilla is like, is in the tub.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
With their big old
like,
boobs sticking
this,
out. And then, like, the other girl comes in, like, all innocent and everything. She's like, hey, why don't you try that dress on? No, you have to take all your clothes off.
Yeah,
like
yeah, they're doing it. Well, look, man, fucking Britain knew how to fucking get a lot of bang for the buck on a very limited budget.
Yeah, I think this cost like 160,000 pounds. That's all.
That's like nothing. All right. Even back in those days, that was nothing.
Yeah, back in those days, that was nothing.
It had really good sets, really good costumes, good actors and actresses, the fucking good script. There wasn't anything fucking fucked up about the script. Kind of an old-fashioned fucking tale that they're telling you. They're not really bullshitting around. They showed you a lot of shit. There's fucking beheadings. There's so there is some gore in it. It felt a bit like a horror movie, but it also felt kind of like a porn movie.
Yeah.
It's like a softcore porn movie.
It was like the best of both
worlds.
There
wasn't really any sex in it, but you thought it was going to happen. There was nudity in it.
Well, there was some heavily implied, like, especially
heavily
when...
Implied.
Well,
yeah.
Especially where Carmilla, like... tempts, because she like moves into this one, the Laura is the first girl, she dies, and then Carmilla moves on to like the next family, and under a different name. I think she goes under Carmilla that time, and because the first time she's Mayor Sakala or whatever the fuck it is. And so she not only seduces the young, wide-eyed, innocent girl and starts draining her blood with the giant cat thing, but she also goes after the governess, who basically seems like she's pretty into it.
Yeah, she fell. She's like, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
She's like, she just put,
she just kind of looked at her like all foxy.
All she had to do is just fucking put that little fucking love, that little pin on her.
Yeah,
and
that
she's
brooch.
Like, yeah, I'm down.
And she's like, all right.
Because I don't think there was
any... And then
any...
she like led her into the other room and the door closed.
I don't think there was any kind of vampire magic involved. I think she was just up for it.
I kind of got that impression, too. I mean, they do kind of say...
And she was protecting her and stuff from the men.
Yeah.
There's this big fucking man-woman rivalry is pretty good. Like, Carmilla's hanging out with this dude's daughter, you know? She's the fucking blonde-haired, just through-the-roof cutie Disney character with the big boobs.
And she's just this total innocent.
Yeah,
like...
her dad's watching him. He's like, something's going on here.
Yeah, because they're coming down the stairs going...
Coming down together, and he's like... You can tell he's getting all suspicious and shit. And even the governess got suspicious. What the fuck is this? So they're getting it on. You can tell that's kind of... But then he, like, shakes it off. Oh, no, that would never happen. That would never... Because it's the 1700s. But hell yeah, that shit was happening. And then it gets into this big thing where... There's too many women in a room. Too many hot women in a room. And the dudes have got to break up this fucking oyster fest. You know what I mean? They're like, no. We got to have a sausage in here somewhere. All right?
We can't have this where no men are
involved.
The
girls got to fucking go your own way. They're trying to break it up. And, you know, and it's fucking hilarious.
Because they can't stand being sidelined. They just
they're
can't
like,
stand
what?
It.
They're getting cucked out and shit. You know what I mean? This is like cuck porn. And then fucking dude jumps on Carmilla, just like, he's standing for this. So she starts putting the move on him, you know? And he's like, yeah, this is what she's
He's like,
be.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get in that. Then she kills his ass. Yeah. She's just using him. It's good flick. I liked it.
Well, yeah, because like I said, she does kill dudes because she kills, like, the doctor at one point and everything to keep him from, like, coming and finding out about, like, what's going on. But she seems to only kill dudes to get them out of the way. She doesn't seem to have any sexual interest in them. But she does seem to have sexual interest in her female victims because she doesn't kill them right away.
This is what I felt about the movie. You take an old school gothic horror, like something from, you know, Dracula or Frankenstein. You take that, but then you put it in color. You modernize, you know, the way it's shot a bit.
Yeah.
And then you amp it all the way up, the sex and violence, and you amp that all the way up so far to the point to where if it went any further, it would leave the genre.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they did. It's kind of, to me, these Hammer films feel like the ultimate expression of a fucking 1930s movie, is what they feel like to me.
Yeah.
They feel like maybe, they feel like this is what they should have been doing back in the 30s. This is what they wanted to show you in the 1930s, but couldn't. That's what they kind of feel like. They don't feel like a 70s movie or an 80s movie or a 90s movie. There's nothing about it. To me, they always feel like a classic universal horror movie.
Yeah, but with smut.
But with more smut.
And
it was like
gore.
What they wanted to do back in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, because they did want to do it back
they
then.
Did
it's just
do
like
that, right.
They couldn't
get away
with it. Well, they almost didn't get away with this one, like I said. It was only because there had been, like, according to Wikipedia, a few years before this came out, there was another movie. I don't think it was a horror movie, but it was like a lesbian themed movie or had a lesbian relationship in it. And it was called The Killing of Sister George. And they actually ended up cutting like 5 minutes out of that, which is like a significant like amount of time just because we can't have all this lesbian stuff in the movie. But, you know, when they sent Carmilla to the, you know, censors, and I think this was even before it was shot. I think it was when it was still in the screenwriting, the screenplay stage. You know, they said, you can't do this, that, and the other thing. But then they said, why don't you read the original story? And all of it is in there. Yeah. And it's pretty blatant. I mean, particularly for 1872. So I do feel like that was the only reason they got away with it, because they said it was a literary adaptation. And yeah, that was all in there.
We've talked about that. We've mentioned this many times in the shows. The 17, really, look, people have this weird idea that the past was somehow prudish. No, not at all. Late 1700s was wild as shit. There was a constant sexual revolutions coming and going. You know,
time is cyclical, and it's like people seem to forget, because generation, you know, you kind of like forget like what happened before you were born, or like before your grandparents were born or whatever. So it does seem like you're kind of like repeating shit over and over again.
It used to be back in the old days, people were up to some wild shit, and the more rich you were, the wilder you were. Because you had the money to get away with it.
Sure, you weren't going
to
get caught.
1700s, 1800s, you go all the way back to the fucking Roman era. You know what I mean? People were fucking wild. I think probably the only time where we don't really... Even some of the stuff that I read was going on in the Middle Ages in Europe. The church controlled Europe at that time, but it turns out that based on some of the stuff that I read, they didn't really control the average person. The people in the churches were complaining that these peasants just kept having all these children out of wedlock, and everybody was having sex with everybody, and the church couldn't stop it.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do if everybody's doing it? You can't really do anything, but you can't, like, police that.
Yeah, how are you going to punish peasants?
Yeah, they're like, our life already
sucks. They're already fucking sucks. You couldn't really punish them if you locked them all up. If you locked them up for that, you'd have to lock them all up. Where would you lock them up? And then how would the Lord make any money off this fucking land? Because they were tied to the land. So you really... And they just kept having children and children and children. They were having children with people. Really, another thing is the concept of marriage really wasn't that strong in the peasant class. People just kind of lived together and had children and swapped. And, you know, I'll leave this woman and get another one, or I'll have two or three women at once. The whole idea of going to the church and getting married was actually much later. That was like 1500s, 1600s. That's when that shit became kind of like part of the civil law. You know what I mean? Where you got to get married.
Yeah.
And the church really was money. Church wanted that money.
Well, yeah, that's why they do everything.
That's why they did that. Okay. But back, you know, so there was a bunch of wild shit happening all throughout human history. This whole, the idea of a prudish past is a myth.
Yeah.
And that's a modern myth. Although, I don't know. Because the ancient Romans themselves thought that they were more righteous and pure in their past, and that they had declined into that. I think they were always like that.
Well, the thing about it is that it's a very human concept, and I think this is true across cultures, that you always think there was some golden age
in the past, the good old days.
And things are like degenerating. Yeah. Like, that's a very, very, very common like human conceit, and it might just be something that's hardwired.
It was always degenerate, pretty much. If you want to,
that's
call
what I mean.
If
it's
you
no want to
call it degenerate, a lot of this shit they're calling degenerate really just part of human nature. That's the way humans are.
Yeah,
they do all this shit. They break laws. They fucking fuck. They do weird shit. They kill each other. They die. They get sick. They die. They have a bunch of children. They do good shit. It's just a mixture of good and bad, and it's just kind of constant.
Yeah. But like I said, I think that there's always been this kind of like, oh, we need to go back to the golden age. We need to go back to when things were awesome. I'm like, and when was that? Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, sometimes you forget cool things of the past. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That could come back. Things make revivals all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for instance... We're getting off topic, but
what else
they got
there?
Rid of dueling.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I believe that it's a human right to duel. If two guys want to fucking fight and kill each other, all right, they should be able to go to lawyers and have an agreement for this.
And have it signed.
And have
all
that
legal
shit
and
that
everything.
You're going to go. Because if nation states can legally wage war on one another, why can't free citizens? Because a nation state will ask a free citizen, you have to join the army and go fight these wars. You're going to fight our wars, but no, you can never fight your own war.
Right.
All right. Right there, that sounds unconstitutional to me.
Yeah, I mean, as long as everything is above board it's done like in a, you know, kind of a controlled setting, then
and two guys just said, "Bitch, we can't live on this same planet together. That's it. One of us has to go." That's some shit Romeo said out of fucking, you know, either you or me or both of us have to go. Either you or me or both of us have to go. Remember that Romeo fucking?
Yeah, this planet ain't big enough.
Went after Tibble. Yeah. It's like that.
It's not big enough for both of us.
So. Yeah. And the reason why they banned dueling was because the young people thought it was dumb. Really didn't have anything. It just changed over time.
What's a dumb?
He's dumb. Don't do it. Well, what it is they were probably soy and shit, and they wanted to talk shit without any repercussions. They didn't want anybody challenging them so they could get away with talking shit. But back in the good old days, if you talk shit, a dude could challenge you to a duel. Now you could fucking back down. Says, "No, I ain't going to duel you." And then you go, "See, you're a pussy." And they didn't want to be branded a pussy, so they had to get rid of dueling. But I think they're like, "Oh, we can't have dueling. People will call me a pussy." But sure as hell, I ain't going to go fucking sword fight with that dude. So they need to bring back dueling. If you're going to defund police, you better bring back dueling.
Well, like I said.
That's how they kept each other in line.
Yeah.
Everybody was a cop.
Yeah. Everybody's their own cop.
Everybody's their own cop. That's how it is in a lot of countries.
I say whatever comes out of my mouth.
That was a good one. You like that one, huh?
Yeah, that that seems like a good thing to put on a t-shirt. I'm just saying.
I say whatever comes out of
my mouth. That's going to be the next 13th on a shirt, I think. That's just going to say, "I say whatever comes out of my mouth."
Yeah, picture of me on it.
With a picture of you on it. Going.
Drunk. With a drunk.
Yeah, go on.
No. I got to put a smart ass look on my face.
Okay.
With a fucking tequila. I say whatever comes out of my mouth. Yeah,
yeah,
that's how it should be.
But yeah, so we went wildly off topic. But yeah, Vampire Lovers, first in the Kurenstein trilogy. They just added it on Shudder. Yeah. And as far as I know, Twitter still has Twins of Evil. They might have just added Lust for a Vampire 2, so that might be like all three of them.
If
you want to do, I can't remember, because I know they just added a bunch of Hammer movies, and they just added a bunch of Roger Corman's Edgar Allan Poe adaptations, including Mask of the Red Death.
Twins of Evil, that's right. Twins of Evil, that's what it's called?
Yeah. We did that one.
That ought to be like the fourth. Well, there was twins, but there was four of them.
Because yeah, I was going to say Twins of Evil?
two sets of Twins of Evil. The whole deal of that one was about these two blonde twins, cute as shit, in bustiers with their fucking drowning.
Yeah,
in
that was kind of the whole theme of the movie.
That was the theme.
They were just kind of like, "Look, we have these two like Playboy bunny twins, and we just want to write a movie around them so we can put them in corsets."
Yeah, they were Playboy bunnies, weren't they?
I think they were. Yeah. Or the equivalent.
Yeah, and they look like they're about 18. 19.
I think they looked
real young.
We actually looked up when we were watching Vampire Lovers last night. We looked up how old Ingrid Pitt was.
She was 33 at the time.
And she was 33 when this movie was made.
Funny, she looked like a well-preserved 40 to me at the time. That's what I was thinking. I think she's probably pushing 40.
Yeah, and like, not if it, because she doesn't look old at all, but she comes across, I guess, because too, it helps that her character is like, predatory.
Yeah.
And she comes across like a Mrs. Robinson type of...
I thought it was the same actress that played the sorceress in Excalibur.
No, that was Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren is similar. Yeah, Helen Mirren is British and Ingrid Pitt is German.
Okay, I got it. They had kind of a similar profile. Similar kind
they
of...
They do look kind of the same. I guess I never realized that, but... Yeah. I mean, they look similar, their faces.
And even the governess, the brunette, she was cute too.
Everybody in this is beautiful. But like beautiful. I said, that's like a Hammer.
That's a Hammer trademark
thing. That's like, why do you go watch Hammer movies? You want to see like a bunch of hot chicks in corsets getting bit by vampires.
The British understood what theater is. That's why Hollywood is now sucks. You got to have eye candy on there. You got to have eye candy. You got to have good looking people. And you got to have fucking a sexy story that fucking excites you. It makes you wonder what the fuck's going to happen next. And that's something that's
lost.
Yeah,
it's like, whose boobs am I going to see?
Yeah,
whose head is going to get cut off?
Who's
going
to do who? What's going to happen here? and things have to be kind of... It has to have kind of an illicit tone to it. And Hammer films, the ones I've seen mostly, have kind of an illicit feel to them. But it's very high quality. I like it.
This was the last Hammer film that was partially funded by American International Pictures, which also did the Roger Corman movies as well. Also, I want to say, too, that there's also a cute cat in this movie named Gustav, who's like a little fluffy, like, He's big, fluffy, yeah, like gray cat. He's like super adorable. So
yeah,
thumbs up for Gustav. All right, so all right, so we're gonna end this review of The Vampire Lovers. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We will see you on the next one. Bye.